you, Lord, that Jesus is alive. Alive in our heart.
Amen.
And it is no longer us that live with Father, but Christ Jesus who lives in each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for that. We know we are purchased with a price. And it's therefore, Father, we are prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life that we live now is no longer ours. Christ lives in us, and let him be the preeminence in our life always, Father. Guide us and keep us, Lord. And even today, Father, as we approach the hour right now, we ask that you open our hearts to know what's in the future for this world, Lord, and in the plan and the purpose of you, Father, how that you will lead your people and prepare them for the coming of the Lord. So, Father, we commit this time to you, and not our eyes to the understanding of thy word, Father, and not always our ear to the hearing of it, and not always the lip to speak, Father. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, sir, today I want to deal with not the last trumpet as to the seven vials or the seven bowls. We have to go back to look at the whole picture of the 70th week of Daniel and to deal with the beast, because we have to bring that beast in, the first beast and the second beast. Because if we don't understand that, then we do not know what's actually happening even today. Alright, so let us go back to the book of Revelation chapter 11. But let us take an overall view of this great tribulation period right here. Alright? This is the last three and a half years of the 7 year period. In the middle of the 7 years, that's when the Pope will be incarnated by Satan and sit himself in the temple in Jerusalem and call himself God. And force men to come under his authority and cause men to worship him. Alright, so from the beginning of this middle of the 70 week is to the end of it is 3.5 years of the great tribulation known as Jacob's trouble. Now, as we look at this chart, let us go into Revelation chapter 11:15. Alright, Revelation chapter 11:15. And recap, I know that it isn't easy for many of us to really understand if we are not really spending a lot of time studying. Alright, now, chapter 11, verse 15, now we are not going to go to every verses because we have already done that. But I just want to point out some of the important significance in some of these verses. Now, verse 15, we have the seven angels sound that this is the seventh trumpeting angel. Alright? And there was a great voice in heaven when he sounded, saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which stood before the throne of God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath come, and the time of the day that they should be judged, that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of the Lord was open in heaven, and there was in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and a great hail. Now, we are dealing with this last seven trumpet right here. But when it sounds, there will be seven vows that will follow, that will be poured out upon the earth. It will be known as God's wrath that he is pouring out upon this earth. Alright? So now, this is why we are not going to touch on today. We are going to deal with this whole thing as to the beast. But I want you to go to the book of, verse 18, it says about, the nation were angry and your wrath is come, and the time of the day they should be judged. And that thou should give reward unto thy servant, the prophet, and to the saints, of them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Now remember here, it is not talking about those saints who are already raptured. He's talking about those that has to go through the tribulation. Okay? Because you remember the word here, you can see here, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Include those who remember in the everlasting, the angel that preached the everlasting gospel during this period. Remember, we'll go through them later. But just go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. Alright. Chapter 20 verse 4, sorry. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, as a Christian, and for the word of God, which is the Jew, and which had not worshipped, and those that had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Got it? Alright, so, that verse we read in chapter 11, verse 18, referred to those faithful Jews, the faithful Jews that could go through the 70 way of Daniel. Alright, many of them would die, okay, and then there will be, of course, in the among the Jews, there will be people who are, some Jews, they are very orthodox, some Jews that who have understood what the two prophets taught beside the 144,000. Okay? And they will be still going around telling people, their Jews, to get ready, their own people to get ready, even telling the Gentiles, and so on. Okay? Now, this will be those who are like preachers, we will say. They will have to pay for their life too. Now, consider today, we have a lot of Christians that go out and witness for the Lord, right? You can call them little prophets, or little preachers, whatever you want to call them. Alright, because you are witnesses for the Lord, remember? And so because you are witnesses for the Lord, the word witness in the book of Acts, and you shall be witnesses unto me, it's a Greek word that comes from the word martyr. You shall be martyrs unto me. When you stand for the truth, you are a martyr. And you will have to pay your life for it. You understand? Okay? And so now go to another verse here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they shall, and he shall send his angel with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together for together his elect on the four winds from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, that's what the same Matthew here shows the same part. Alright, he's talking about after the end of the tribulation, when this trumpet is blown, everything comes to an end. Alright? Okay? So, you can see that this verse, in verse 18 of chapter 11 of Revelation, tells us about that. Now, alright, let us go to chapter 12 of Revelation now, and pick up from there. And then appear a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, we have dealt with these two. Okay? What that means, we have here the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And there is another great wonder in the heaven. Now, I want you to, now, because I'm teaching, I'm guiding you to understand the Bible. I'm not just a great preacher message. Now, I want you to look at the scripture here in the verse, first verse. And there appear a great wonder in heaven. Now, this heaven is, now, remember, there are three heavens. You understand, right? This is the first heaven, where we live and move. Second heaven is when you looked up. That's the space. The third heaven is where God dwells, beyond what your eyes can see. Okay? So when the Bible says, and there appears a great wonder in heaven, that is when John was caught up in the vision, he looked up. And so this wonder in heaven appears in front of him up in the second heaven. So we always call that the second heaven. Okay? Alright. And while a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head the crown of 12 stars, which we know she represents Israel. And the 12 stars represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And being she with child, cried tribulating in birth, and pain to be delivered. And we know who she gave birth to. And there was none other than the Messiah, the main child. Okay? So I already told you this, that there are different interpretations in the denomination. They believe that this woman represents the church, and it is the church that gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And another interpret that it represents the church, and the man shall represent the firstborn church, which is of course very ridiculous. And anybody who knows prophecy, who understands Bible, will know that when you talk about the moon under her feet, this represents the law. Because the law comes from the sun, or the moon, the light of the moon comes from the sun. It reflects the sun. Is that right? The law in the Old Testament reflects what? The prophet and the law point unto who? Point Jesus, to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in the volume of book, it is written of me. He is the light of the world. He is the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. So these are all very specific. When you interpret a part of the Bible wrong, you can find that all your prophetic, you know, doctrines will be messed up. And so it's very important to really understand prophetic utterance or words written in the Bible. Okay? And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head, which we already understand. That this dragon, the Bible used the word dragon translated, and I always say it's bad translation. You should change the word dragon, which of course is not there. In the original, it's understood by the Greek mythology. Remember, this Bible was translated from the Greek and in the days of King James, right? And in the days of King James, the understanding is dragon, or the look at the word they describe as dragon, we know in the Greek word, it actually represents a fiery serpent. Okay, now in the Hebrew context, it will be the sarap, alright, a bright, shining, fiery, what you call a creature. Okay? So this is the great red dragon. He was always called red. It's because we understand what red does stand for? Bloody. Blood. So we know that Satan is represented the serpent, and which of course point to Satan, how that he will use seven, because there are seven heads, he will use seven kingdoms. Now, because the Bible said there are seven crowns, right? Having seven heads and seven crowns upon his head. Now, we know that when you are crowned with a crown, it means that there must be a king. There must be a kingdom. Alright? A beast in the Bible always represents an empire, or a kingdom, or a nation. You got it? The head represents, well, the government body, and usually a government body, like where we have here in Singapore, you know, Singapore, we don't say it's a beast. We are what? We are a lion. No, they say it's called a Malaya or lion. Okay, and then of course, there's always the head. A beast must have a head. A beast that has no head is a dead beast, and it doesn't exist. Alright? So the head is the government body, the law comes from the head. So, but within the head of this creature, there could be a man that can push his way up and become a dictator. Alright. And when he becomes a dictator, when he pushes his way up, it grows a horn. Now, I want to say this, that in the Bible, whenever you see a vision, whenever a vision is given, all animals must have head. It will tell you whether it's one head, or two head, or seven head, or whatever. Okay? Now, when you have an animal that's born out, have you ever seen an animal with two heads? Cat with two heads, and maybe a dog that comes forth with two heads, like a Siamese twin, a child born with two heads, or, you know, stick to the body. Is that right? So they are born like this. But you can never have a creature that is born with two heads, and then suddenly grow a third head, or a fourth head growing up. You never. That's why when I study prophecy, all these years ago when I was in the examination of God, when I looked into all these prophetic teachers and they come up with strange interpretations. You know, there is no such thing as animal growing heads. Animal will grow horns, but not heads. You understand? Correct? Am I not correct? And therefore God doesn't mess our mind. And that the animal that has one head grow up to be seven heads. It doesn't. The other is presented as seven heads or not. Okay? So in this case here we see this creature that is in heaven presented, it comes forth with seven heads. I mean seven heads with seven, with one, every head has a crown. Okay? Therefore it shows a kingdom or an empire. Do you understand that? Okay. But it also says here that it has 10 horns. Remember. Now, I have searched the internet to try to get a better picture to show you. But everyone that draw all those 10 horns scattered over the heads of the seven. I mean, scattered over the seven heads. Some animals have 2 horns. You know, some have one. And I don't know why they place it like that. That means they're sure they don't understand. The 10 horn must be only on one head, not on all of those 6 other heads. It's obvious. Because we can see later on, when we go into the first piece, you understand why. You understand? And I don't know how they could guess that there are 2 horns here, 1 horn there, and this head and that. But what does it represent if you do not understand the horns? If you put a horn on one of the head, you will need to understand what does the head represent and why there is 1 horn or why they put 2 horns. But they don't have any idea whatsoever. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is obvious that only one of these 7 heads has the 10 horns. And it is the 7th head. Why well, it's called 7 head? Because we're talking about history. We are not counting the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that one is the 7. No. We're talking about the flow of history. And we come to the last head that represents a nation or a kingdom, and why that is known as the 7 heads or the 7th head. Alright? So let us look at this now. And he still drew a third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them onto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to devour. For to devour, to be the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so we know that this whole vision that John saw deals with Israel, the woman, and deals with Satan using 7 nations or 7 empires to try to destroy this woman. And knowing that the woman was ready to deliver a child. And this Satan knew, how did Satan know? Because already way back in the book of Genesis, remember, when God judged the serpent, he judged Adam and then he judged the woman, remember? And I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed, remember that? Yeah? And you shall bruise his heel, but she shall bruise your head, and so on. So Satan knew that God has a plan about a seed that coming from the woman. And so it has some process, you know. Satan doesn't know everything yet. But he's learning. He's always a learning creature. Okay? He learns as he looks what's going on through Israel, the prophet that comes, prophesy, he learns. That's why the 7 tablets are not meant to be written. So that he won't know what it's all about until the moment God intended for it. For the bride to know. So if it's not written, if it's not uttered, no prophet uttered it, nobody, the Satan wouldn't know. Do you understand that? You see. So Satan knew from this vision that John saw, it is for us to get an understanding of history, retrospectively, backwards, of all these 7 nations, or those 7 kingdoms. Okay? Alright? So Satan seeks to destroy the woman. So by destroying this, the man-child, the child that is to be delivered, who will be the Messiah for Israel. Alright, to deliver the children of Israel. And yet in God's plan, of course, Satan already knew that if God wanted to save Israel, he's definitely, from what he heard uttered by the prophets in the Old Testament, regarding that the light of Israel will go forth to the Gentiles. Is that right? So that the word of God will be saved also because of the Messiah. Alright? And she brought forth a man child and was to rule all the nation with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up into heaven, into his throne. And we know therefore that when Jesus Christ was born, he paid for the sin and then he was caught up into the third heaven. The Bible here said, caught up unto God and to his throne, that is the third heaven. Alright. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she would be a place prepared for of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, that is what I want you to look at. Here, the woman fled into the wilderness. Remember that the Antichrist made the covenant with Mary for 1 week, that is a 7-year period, at the start. And then, in the middle of it, because of the two witnesses that prophesied, troubling the Catholic Church, the clergy, the Pope, to no end, irritate them to no end. So they have to put a stop to it by killing the two witnesses. Well, when they kill the two witnesses, and that's when they, well, what the Bible said in Book of Matthew chapter 24. Let us go back. This is another here in chapter Matthew 24 that helped the children of Israel to understand the time period when they should, well, run, flee. Alright? In Matthew chapter 24. And we read from verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. Then let that which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are sick. They give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect sick, those days shall be shortened. Now, so the abomination that make it desolate, or the abomination of desolation. What is this abomination? Abomination is something filthy, something dirty, something ugly. You know, diabolical, bad, filth. And in the temple of Israel, the animal that is to be sacrificed are sheep, goats, bullock, turtle dove, and so on. They are clean animals. Right? But for anybody to bring anything that is unclean, it's known as an abomination. And that's why back in history, in 168, 163 BC, at that time when, Roman came over to Israel, to Jerusalem to destroy them, and even Antiochus Epiphanius brought a sow, a female sheep. It's called a sow. Am I right? Yes or no? What is a
sow?
What is a female peacock?
So, you, female sheep.
No, I mean female sheep. I mean female petrol. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about female sheep. Yes, sheep?
So.
Okay. What I'm saying is female pig, not sheep. Female pig as a sow. And he brought that sow into the temple, to profane that altar. You see. So that's called abomination that make it desolate. Now, anything that is contrary to the Word of God, anything that is a tradition that goes against the Word of God, is an abomination. So, we know that the Catholic Church is an abomination to God. Of course, I said the Catholic people don't see it. What can the Bible call it? Mystery of Babylon, the great mother of harlots, and so on. Okay? So now, when the Pope sits himself in the temple and calls himself God, he will sit in the temple because that's what he would do. He will stop the oblation, no more sacrifices, no more oblation in the evening for the Jew, because of the two witnesses that prophesy and preach and warn the people and, rebuild the whole of this system. The Pope could not take it, so finally he put them to death. He will be under control.
You will control. When we go to the Bihar, you understand what the control is. Alright? And then that is, as Jesus here said, when you see this abomination, he's the one that will sit in that temple now. How terrible it is for one who's a Gentile, or one who goes against the word of God, one who act like God, who think that he's an authority. Remember, he's Valkyrus Philidaeus. Huh? He called himself that. A beggar of Christ. You see. So when he sits there, it's an abomination. And Israel will know, that's it. The true witness has been killed. Come to flee, because he's now calling himself God now, this man, the Antichrist. Okay? So they will flee, and the Bible here said, when they flee into the wilderness, is just a place of description, some place that is not called their home. You understand? If a place that is not your home, it's wild to you, you're not familiar, you know what cultural shock is, right? Right? Yeah. For those of you who have seen Amazing Race on the televisions and all this race, and some of these white American men or women who never been out of their country, when they in there, oh my, cultural shock. Right? Or go to another place, like in China, where they eat all sorts of wild, you know, the food. It's cultural shock. So to them, it's like a wilderness. So, they'll be going out, scattered all over the world, once again. And 144,000 will go with them and feed them. Remember the 144,000, they were sealed on their forehead. They had the revelation of who the Messiah is. That name that they recognize, that we recognize today, that we know today, to be known as Yahshua HaMashiach. Okay? Jesus, the Messiah. They will know that it was none other than Him. And so they will go along with the nation of Israel, the woman, the representation of Israel. They'll, wherever they go, 144,000 will go with them, wherever they are. Okay? And feed them. Okay? For 1,260 days. Remember, it says like that. And there was war in heaven. This is also the second heaven. Alright. Micah and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angel, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Neither was their place found anymore. Ah, my goodness, there is a play of verse that I'll overlook. No more was their place found anymore in heaven. That shows that when Satan is cast out and all that, angels that rebel, they are cast out of heaven, there's no more place found in heaven. Right? That's why I said Satan has no access to heaven. This verse is not even clear. No more, there are no more place found in heaven for them. There are no place up there for whatsoever. Alright? And the great dragon was cast out. The old servant called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. So that's why Satan is earthbound. Here, in this place, in this first heaven, in this earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see? So, there's nowhere that he could go. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The word cast down, as I said, cast down, cast out, cast down, finally is, you debase. It is, you know, when you're cast out, you make debase. Now the Bible says we may be cast down, but we are not destroyed. But when Satan is cast down, he's coming to the place where he will be destroyed. Right? Once he's incarnated into the Pope, right? Later on he do all the dirty work that he's supposed to do, chained up for 1,000 years, millennium, there'll be no tempter during the millennium, and after the 1,000 years is expired, he'll be let loose again for his final trial, to do all his dirty job. And then after that, he will be burnt out. Okay. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is cast down unto you, is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time.
And when the dragon saw that it was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child, and to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Remember the two wings of a great eagle? Who? The eagle in the Bible represents what? Represents Jehovah God. Alright? And that's the reason why in our prophetic revelation, our logo is in the way it is that people like to copy our logo. The eagle screams and the dove leads. Okay? The eagle scream is God Jehovah screaming out to the bride, screaming out to elect to come and follow him. And the dove represents the Spirit of God that leads us gently, humbles as a dove. You understand? To lead us. Okay? You may call yourself eagle, like many in the end time may say, oh, we are eagle, we are all eagle, this is an eagle age, and so on and so forth. And behave like a buzzard eagle, or what we call vulture eagle. There are those eagle they call eagle, but they are not eagle, they are vulture. And they eat all sorts of rubbish. Have you ever seen eagle? Vulture or eagle? I think they call vulture eagle, or something like that, a vulture eagle. They look like eagle, you know, but when they come down, look closer, their head is not. Their head is actually a vulture. And they are really filthy. They look like an eagle, really, on high when they fly, they look like it. I thought it was when I first saw it, you know, and seeing it, when they fly closer, I was like, oh my goodness. And they're landing and all the rotten food and they eat it. Okay? Alright, so the two wings of a great eagle. Two wings represents what? The two wings of the great eagle is wings represents flight. You'll move along with you. Our great eagle, that's the word that came from the two prophets. Right? So Jehovah eagle through the two prophets already preached in the first 3.5 years. And still the 144,000. Now the 144,000 have received the revelation. Now they are following the woman Israel, wherever they are, into the wilderness, and they'll feed them what they have received from the two prophets. You understand that? Alright. So they'll be died that she might fly into the wilderness into their place in her place where she is nourished for the time, times and a half times. From the phrase of the serpent, that is 3.5 times, 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as the flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Flood here is a war. This is our picture, a dragon, you know, pour out water from the mouth. Okay, but we know that in Asian dragon, but we know it is not a dragon. Alright, always draw fire. Okay, but this is the serpent. Okay, so out from his mouth come forth flood. What does it mean? He issued an order of destruction, of war, okay, or terror against the children of Israel. That's right. When you talk about a flood, flood is scarier. Because when it comes, you know, it's floating up very fast. Alright, so you're talking about a flood. You know, it's not that the serpent issue up little triggering of water now. It doesn't go out there, you know, trying to get rid of these children of Israel with a little war with them, but flood. Alright. After the one that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, and the earth help the woman, and the earth open her mouth and swallow up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now again, we know that this earth here represents the wilderness of the earth, wherever the woman will go, like today. We know that in 70 AD, when the children of Israel, when Prince Titus, the Roman Prince Titus, came down with the army, and when the army destroyed the whole of Jerusalem and the temple, and the children of Israel was scattered. Many of them actually fled. Some of them were next taken by the Romans. But those who remember, according to what Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 24, when they saw them coming down, those in the field, don't go back to the city. Okay? Just flee to the mountain. Those on the housetop saw them coming, get out quickly out of the city gate and run. Because why? Those who didn't, they stayed there in the city, you know what happened? The whole soldiers surrounded that city. And I don't know for how many weeks, the soldiers wait on the outside to wait until they stop them out. What do you call that? That's a word in warfare. You know, they just wait and wait for them to, because there's lack of food, there's lack of water. And so what happened inside there in the city?
even in their own children, with their own, in their own baby. You'll be surprised. Read it in history. It's terrible. You know, until they couldn't do a thing. And many of them just killed themselves too. Some of the Jews, they killed themselves. You see. So when the, finally, when the Romans gets in there, the Romans soldier was so upset about all this waiting that they wanted to bring the whole of this temple down. Because the temple to Israel was something sacred, something that symbolized their religious faith in God. Right? So they destroyed that. But Prince Tadeo was trying to prevent it, and the non-rabbi told them, don't do that. But the rabbi and this Prince Tadeo couldn't do it, couldn't do anything, because the soldier was all very upset, and they really want to tear it down, and even get at the gold. So they break down every stone of this temple, and not one stone lay upon another. You see, and so the children of Israel were scattered all over the world. You see, and to this day, you know, they're everywhere in the world. Okay, and some Jew, they don't look like Jew. They look very much like Chinese, very much like Indian, because of their mixture. You understand that? Okay, even, you have found that, yeah, how many of you have seen the Fiddler on the Roof? That movie about traditions of the Jew, the Fiddler on the Roof. If you have seen the Fiddler on the Roof, you'll notice today that even there are many Jews, they are very near to the border of China and Russia. And when you cross over from Russia, there are a lot of Jews that were in Russia, like you see on the movie Fiddler on the Roof, they were chased up by the Russians to go to the Silk Road and go towards China and live. And so they followed this group and found them in China somewhere in a little place, and they look very Chinese. So they are Jews. Why? Because why? They intermarried with the Chinese. You see. And over in India you have Indian Jews also. Right? There are Jews of all kinds, Ethiopian Jews, because they intermarried. You see. So that's how what happened when they were scattered. So now if this thing to happen again, they were scattered all over the world again. And there will be the world, the country that will receive them and keep them. Alright? So the earth, that is the wilderness of the earth, the nation, the earth will open up to stop them from being killed. Alright. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So now the woman is upset because she couldn't, because certain country will keep them. Now, as I say, in the Great Tribulation, there's one thing a lot of people do not understand. Go to any churches, they will tell you that during the tribulation, everyone will suffer in the world, blah, 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 blah. Now, we know that is not really true. Okay, most of the things that you read in Bible prophecy, the event that will really take we'll see more action. You feel the impact. All will be in the Middle East, European countries. Alright? And countries which comes under the Roman Catholic power, like the Philippines, which are very Roman Catholic. The president is very different Catholic. The Canada, which is very Roman Catholic also, we will say like in Nicaragua, Central America, Roman Catholic in their tradition. Because of the, this country will be under the Pope's, you know, religious and political rule in their influence over the leaders of those countries. But the Pope will not have any influence in China. Do you think they have any influence in China? No. Do you think they have influence in India? No. Do you understand? Okay? They won't even have influence in Vietnam, Cambodia. No. This is a country the Bible mentioned about the kings of the East, and they must march west towards Jerusalem and fight against this peace themselves. Right? Because the Pope tried to do everything he could to try to get to kill all those Jews, but since she couldn't, what did this? Servant do? What did the characters do? They go after those that are left behind. Okay? Those who are the remnant of the seed. Who are they? Those who are favorite Jews, alright, who do not mind dying, who will still be
prophesying, you know, here and there, tell a warn the people, and there will be Christians who are left behind, denominational Christian or the foolish virgin, they are left behind. What are you going to write? Alright? So you go after them. So the Bible here says, she, the dragon, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandment of God, which is the Jewish people. Because Jews always talk about the commandment of God. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the group that have the testimony of Jesus Christ are the Christians. Those who are the Gentile believers and those that are Jewish believers. So there are always two groups. Well, remnant of a seed. When you talk about remnant of a seed, people say the Christian does not include a beggar pardon. Huh? We are all tied to Israel. You can never separate us from Israel. Who is the father of your faith? Who is the father of faith? You cannot say, oh, that's Brother Abraham. Who is the father of the faith? Oh, John Wesley. That's not. Who is the father of our faith? Who is it? Come on. Abraham. Abraham was the first to be called. He was the one that God called. And Abraham was not a Jew, for goodness sake, remember this. Now people are thinking Abraham was a Jew. Oh, why? When did the Jews start? When did you get the Jewish race? The Jewish race came from who? It doesn't come from Abraham. It came from Israel. Remember? That's when the name Jacob was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons. Right? So they call the children of Israel, the children of Israel. Today, that's what they are, the Israelites, the children of Israel. And they are called the Judah. The Jew come from the word Judah. Become interchangeable. But there are those over in America and in Europe and Canada who believe in the, what they call the Lost Ten Tribe, that those Jews that are in Israel right now, they are not a Jew, not true Jews, they are bastard Jews, that is, they are not the fake. They are the one that killed Jesus Christ, the real Israelite, the real Jew, or real Israelite, the one to call it, are those Anglo-Saxon. Those in Europe, those in America, those in Canada, those in England. That's not true. Alright? Can you recognize, you know what, that's why in America you have this KKK, Ku Klux Klan. You know, you look at the history of what they did over in America. They harassed the black. Even if you are Chinese, and back in those days, they will harass you too, because what? They look at the slitty eyes, and they think that we all Chinese have slitty eyes, you know. Ching Chong Cheng, all that sort of stuff. And they will kill you. They will harass you. And they would allow, they said they're a Christian group or something like that. You know, and there are churches in America, and I don't know, they are in Canada. They would not even have any people other than white only in the church. If a black man goes inside, he cannot, not allowed to go in. I don't know whether a Chinese can go in or not. You know. So today the Jew, how do you recognize who the Jew, who are the Israelites? They are all colored, they are all mixed, so many of them are mixed together. Go to Israel and look for yourself. Go to Israel and look for yourself. Brother Solomon Jacob, the brother in India, he's a Jew. But look at India, the brother Kavi, you know, but he's a Jew. Go to there and see, in front of you, they are black men with kinky hair, and he says, I'm a Jew. Then you wonder whether he really is. You know. Do you understand that the situation that is in the world now? Alright? So let us approach. In chapter 13 now, we are going to look at this first beast. Okay? Here we have the first beast. Okay. Now, I'm sorry, as I said, all these are the drawings that I draw. Back then when computers just came to the market, where you don't have Photoshop, you don't have all the technology that you have today. In those days, everything is pixelated. So I have to draw this, you know, pixelated. So that's why it's pixelated. You see, even this one, it's so pixelated, you know, the all these animals, they are very pixelated, so I couldn't get any better. So this one I had to go out and try to create something that looked like it. So I had to create this first big head as being the seventh, because this is what I want to show you what the Bible said. Okay, now let us read verse chapter 13. For today we're going to finish off this first piece. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, this beast here, you find that the Bible said he has ten horns, and ten horns, each horn has a crown, right? Yes. But this one, in Revelation 12, the horns do not have crowns. The horns are on the head. Okay? Now, in chapter 12, this vision of John, concerning this great, great serpent, it represents the kingdom or the empire that Satan used to try to destroy the woman Israel, the nation of Israel. Okay, so there are seven heads. So you still remember the name of those seven kingdoms? The first is Egypt. Assyrian, Egypt, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian. What? What's that? Medo-Persian, Grecian, right? Then the Roman Empire. That's number six. The seventh is the Holy Roman Empire. Do you understand? So when John saw this vision, he saw seven heads. But nobody knows what the seven heads is until you see history being fulfilled as you come down. There will be red lights. Okay? But if you are living in the days of John, it will be very hard to understand. Because when the angel came to Daniel and talked to him about the prophecy, right? Daniel asked, where will this thing be and so on? And the angel said, well, sit it up. It's not for you for days. It's for the later days. So for you, you don't need to know. You get the point? You understand that, don't you? You see? So the same thing is that when John got this vision at that time, from 100 AD onward, people who studied, they would not be able to figure that out. Okay? That's not why sometimes the prophecy must be left alone until the time comes when God will reveal it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just the same as revelation of the Word of God. Why is it not that the revelation of the Word of God that is in the Bible is all those mysteries? Why was it not revealed in the during the Dark Ages, or even when Luther came upon the scene, why was it not revealed to them? Because they would not be able to comprehend. Because it's such a time that God needs to give them what they need, not what they don't need. That is why don't ask God for what you don't need. You understand? Lord, I want this, I want that. God said, no, I don't want to give you what you want. What you need is what God will give you, not what you want. You understand? Now, how many of you ever buy shopaholic? You go to the, go shopping. Oh, buy this. You go there, you buy that. And then after that, you leave it in the cupboard. Then two, 3 years later, hey, I bought this 3 years ago. Why? You wonder why you bought that? Huh? You ever wonder that? That's what it is? So, we only, God will give us what we need, not what we want. So this hour, we are privileged, so to speak, because we live at the end of this church age. And a lot of things, the prophecy, retrospective, looking backward, we can see what's happening. Alright? And now we are right close to the end already, so we can see, not far, far, we could see it. It's like you're on the distance, you're going on the road, far away, but you can't see very clear. But as you get closer, you see clearer. As you get closer. So this is what we are given in this our day. We are very privileged to know all these things. But in knowing all this, what good does it do to us? If our life is not lived according to the Word of God. knowledge has possessed pastor. Right? So we thus do not want to know it, but we ought to live it. That's what it is. Okay, so now, as God said, I stood upon the center of the sea and saw the beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So that second beast, that first beast, and this vision in chapter 12 are different. But these ones show almost the same heads because they are same. They are 7. The first head, we already know what it is, and the second, and so on and so forth. Alright? Now, let us look at this one. In Daniel chapter 7, we can go back and look at that. Alright? In Daniel chapter 7, here we have John's, Daniel's revelation, or Daniel's vision of the four beasts. Now, we're not going to read all of it, but look at verse 4. The first was like a lion head, eagle's wing. Okay? Alright. Okay, let's look at this. This is Daniel's four beasts. Okay, I just figured out on the internet, so I don't have to draw it. So the first one here was a lion with two wings. And then you have a bear, there's here on one side, there's three ribs on his mouth, and you have one that is a leopard with four heads. And then finally, the last one. Now this last one is what we are looking at. It has, well, just look at what Daniel said here. Verse 4 is the lion had two eagle's wings. And then verse 5, another beast, the second one, like to a bear. He raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in his mouth. Verse 6, then we have a leopard which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, four beasts, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it. And he had 10 horns. Same. See, he has only one head with 10 horns. So, by looking at this vision of Daniel, we realize that for anybody to draw the 10 horn in chapter 12 on the great dragon, with horn, two horns here, one horn here, is rubbish. Do you understand? Huh? Okay, the horn is a wonder, because I said, what does the horn represent is important. But it does have, there have only 10 horns, and there's no crown on these horns. But in chapter 13 that we are reading now in Revelation, it said that these 10 horns had crowns. Each one of them have a crown. Alright, so now, to cause you to understand, this beast that John saw, this beast that Daniel saw, has only one head, only 10 horns. But it is indescribable. I mean, it's called a nondescript beast. You know, it doesn't look at any animal that Daniel knows. But the first one Daniel knows is a lion, but he has two wings. The second one he knows is a bear, but he moved on one side, he moved on one side, and had three ribs in his mouth. And the fourth one you know that is a leopard, huh? That has four heads, but the wings was not wings of eagle, but wings of fowl. It could be a chicken wing, or you know, a duck wing, or whatever wings, but certainly not an eagle's wing. Okay? Then this one he saw, he couldn't describe it. Alright? So you really cannot describe it. So, and now, some interpreters have said this. They said that this beast of Daniel, the phobia of Daniel, is the same as in chapter, Revelation chapter 13, the first beast. Only that in chapter 13, he has grown up another 6 heads. As I said, animals do not grow head. Animals grow what? Horns, not heads. So, though it is the same head, what I want to let you know here, right here, don't worry too much about it, that this beast, the fourth beast of Daniel, it is history in the past. Something did happen in the past. Because there's no horns on this thing crown. History always tends to repeat itself. Okay? You understand? Tend to repeat itself. But here what we see in Daniel's beast is political and religious, but it happened in a certain stage in history. But yet still moving on to where we see right now in chapter 13, where the Bible shows us these 13 heads. I mean, these 7 heads. Okay, now let us look in chapter 13 now. Well, before we go there, let me just go back here. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he has this dream of this great colossus, this great statue. Okay? Alright. Now notice there are also four empires. He divided four sections except for the last part of the feet. So the first is gold, Babylonian. That's where we have the lion. Okay? And the lion. Then we have the silver, which is Middle Persia, which is the second animal, which is the what? The bear. Remember the bear move on one side is heavier, and the Persian is stronger than the medial. So you move on one side. Okay? Then you have the bronze, which is the, well, the Thai part, which is the Grecian Empire, which of course is symbolized by the leopard, which is, leopard are very fast animals. Okay? Only that they are not, the wings of the fowl are not as fast as eagle's wings. And it goes into four heads, which Alexander came along, is divided into four. Okay? Then we have the iron, the Roman Empire, the king, which of course we see in that four beasts, the non-discrete beasts. Okay? But now here we have, at the bottom here, the legs of dentals. Okay? Half iron, half clay. That's interesting. Because what? This actually describes what is happening right now in European or EU, European Union, European Community, European Common Market. Half iron, half clay. They are always still, now they are still in turmoil because iron and clay do not mix. They are still all going through all the shifting. You know about this currency issue? You all know about it, right? Say, you can mix together. One fellow said, oh, hit the iron hotter. The other one said, no, the clay will crack. Because why? Who is the one that is, which of that nation out there who has actually the debt? In debt. Which country is in debt? Greece. And Spain. Yeah, a few others, right? And the other one said, no, we should support. The iron said, no, we are strong, we have money to support. Yeah, other people said, no, we will crack and blow. And there was just, you can't mix that anyway. That is what's going on right in the European Common Market. And remember this, watch it. From the leg goes downward, you get your feet. Right? And your feet, you have 2 feet. How many toes are there? 10 toes. Right? That's the reason why we have this piece, one head, it grows, you know, up here, 10 horns. It's a fact. You understand? It's an extension. Alright, we go back right here. It's the same thing. Now look at it here. Because why? In this beast, we are going to look at this head, the 7th head. The last one here, because why? This head, which was the Roman head, it would have 10 horns out there in the European Common Market. Because when you talk about the Roman Empire, where is the Roman Empire situated? All those areas, right? Yes or no? Sure. You see? And there will be 10 nations under the European Market that will become the big guys. Sure, we have a lot of them joining now, 16 nations or 20 nations. Some are still wanting to join. You know, Estonia also wanted to join. So many others. But there will be 10, they will become crowned. There are 10 that make the decision. And that's why we are looking at it in this prophecy. How long will it be before we see that? I don't know. This 2013? Right? Another year, 2014? You're growing 1 year older every time. By the time we come, how long will it be before you see this formation? become very solid. Today, your European, I mean your Euro, is the Euro, not your Euro, not my the European Euro. It's so weak. When it started, it was supposed to be strong, huh? I remember, I think it's one euro is like a two Singapore dollar back then. Today is like 130 or 120 or something like that. Is that so? Something of that nature. Oh, one American dollar is 1.2 something euro. I got all mixed up. But the thing is this, he will get stronger. For sure he will get stronger. You know. It's just like gold. People would expect in 3 years the gold has tripled the price. So euro will get stronger. So if you want to invest, throw away the greenback, because that's useless. American dollars is worthless, actually. Practically worthless. You know, that's why China told the president of America, stop printing money. You know. And euro is trying to control that. And that's why all the world activity, all the activities of the world will have to go back to where civilization starts. Where did civilization start? It started in where? Mesopotamia. You know where Mesopotamia is? If you do not know, I think you ought to go back to study history. If you do not look into your map. I cannot always feed you like a baby. You know where Mesopotamia is? Right. North of Israel. You know where the Persian Gulf is? That's where the river Euphrates and Tigris flows into that place. Okay? So Mesopotamia is where civilization starts after the ark landed on Mount Ararat in the area of Armenia or Turkey mountain. So the people came down from there to this Mesopotamian basin because why? It is very fertile crescent. They call it the fertile land. Okay? So they built there, the city, the civilization started there. As they moved out to the plain, to the mount, to the plain of Shinar, you see. So it's a very nice plain, very well watered. So the civilization starts there. So over the years, the people began to migrate down south, and then began to move westward, north westward to Europe. After they settled around the Mediterranean, they move on. No, that's how civilization starts. Okay. Now, let us look into it. I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, it doesn't mean that John go and stand upon the sand of the sea. It is a vision, huh? He saw himself standing upon the sand of the sea. You know what a vision is? Vision is it's a daydream. Not daydream, really. It's a vision in the daytime. That's why it's called a vision. A dream is a night vision. So when it's a vision, it happens in the daytime. John could be sitting in the room, and he is in a trance, and he saw himself standing on the sand of the sea. And I saw the beast come rise out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. Now, when you see a beast like this coming out of the sea, this is the sea, right? It comes out of the sea. What is the first thing that you see? Now, I want you to know about prophecy or a vision. Every time you dream a dream, take note of how it happens. Because the flow of vision, the flow of dreams, has significance. One stage to another. Okay? John did not see this beast standing upon the seashore. He didn't. He said it comes out. Huh? He saw the creature move out of the sea. So the first thing when your creature comes out of the sea, what is the first thing you see? The horn. Obviously it's the horn. Because the horn is sticking out. Do you understand? The horn must come up first. Then you see the head. Then the rest of the head, the rest of the body, then the feet. Common sense will tell you. Now, when you are diving in the water and you're swimming in the sea, when you come out, what comes out first? Your leg comes out first? Huh? Your head comes out first, obviously. You don't come out, your leg come out first, do you? So the head comes out first. So the same thing, because the horn is upon the head, the horn comes out first. So the Bible now is, let you understand that this vision is about not all these parts of the beast, the other heads or the feet or whatever. It's about this horn that is upon the head of this seventh head. Okay, it's about the 10 horns upon this seventh head. Now, the rest of this head, you can forget about it. The rest of the body, you can forget about it. Because it only tells you where it comes from. Okay, what the whole beast shows you. Alright. Okay, now, he has 10 horns and his horns, the 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Now, you know that in every empire, every kingdom, in Sundan, every kingdom they always worship some form of a gods, right? And all right, and usually the king always wanted to be gods. The king wanted to be worshipped. Emperor of Japan, right? During the Second World War, the rebellion like God. You know that, don't you? Yes. You see, they think the emperor is some kind of a god. And of course, in Asia, this is where we have this problem. In India, in China, even in China, you have today, when a parent dies, those who are, I don't know what religion is that, they would have an altar of their parents where they would bow down, right? And pay respect to. Isn't it so? They want to know, they know there's some kind of a god or lord or whatever. People in this honor, it's not our god, it's our father. But then the way you worship it, you see, that's where the spirit is passed down. Okay. All right. And the name of blasphemy is to claim any name that contrary to the only one God, to believe that he's God or that he is divine or anything. Anything, anyone, any name, any person put a name on himself that claim divinity or deity, it's actually a blasphemy against God. Alright? Now, we say here, the animal, this beast rises up of the sea. What does the sea represent? Let us go to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And verse 2. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my night vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the mountain strode upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came out from the sea, diverse one from another. So, the sea represents the Gentile nations. Now, don't forget that this is a vision of John, and just as a vision of Daniel. Okay? When you talk about the sea, it's all about the Mediterranean area. In that region where civilization is. There's no other civilization there as far as the Bible is written in the days of Daniel. It's not in China, it's not in India or any part, it's all about that region. So, besides the children of Israel, as I said this, they're only about a tiny little nation. It's what the devil Satan wanted to do to destroy Israel by using all the other nations. You understand? Okay? Using all those other nations to try to destroy. And all those other nations, they are Gentiles. So the sea here represents the Gentile, coming out from the Gentiles enclave, you will call it. You see? And the Bible says here the four winds on the mountain stroke upon the great sea. So the sea speaks of the masses of confused, disordered life of the Gentiles. Because in Israel there is a proper ordered life because they have the law of God. But the Gentiles, no. Look at all the different Gentile nations. They all have their own gods. They all have their own kind of life that they lead. Look at Romans, look at Greek, the Grecians. If you look into Asia, you know how they worship. They worship in temple where they have sexual orgies going on. The priests have sexual intercourse with the priests or even with the worshipper or whatever. And that's why how Balaam is trying to get Israel to fall by this kind of compromising or kind of worship. Do you understand? Alright, so when you talk about the sea, talk about the Gentile nation. And because the raging sea always represents the confused, and the Gentiles, they are all wild people, they are all just doing all things very, very messed up. And crazy. No order in life. No orderliness in life. Alright, that's what the word see represents. Okay? Alright. Let's go on. Verse, okay. Chapter 15. Sorry, chapter 13. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now, this is clear. Because in this other vision here of Daniel, all these four beasts all came out from the same region, the prophetic world. We call that the prophetic world, or the old world, which is Europe. All the activities of these four beasts came up from there. Okay? So this raging sea came up from the sea, and these are all the Gentile nations, as you can see. Alright? This is a nice drawing. Okay? The first, that's Babylonian. Remember? Yes? Now, the reason why it is dealt with Babylonian, because Daniel was in the Babylonian Empire. Remember, he does not deal with the first two, the Egyptian and the Syrian. He doesn't deal with it. God dealt with him from that time. Because that is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar saw, this vision. Right? It's the same, only that Nebuchadnezzar saw it in the form of a colossus. Whereas Daniel saw it in the form of a beast. Right? Okay? So you have Babylonian, you have the Middle Persian, you have the Grecian, and you have the Roman. Okay? So now what you see here in verse 2? Leopard. Okay? The beast I saw was like a leopard. No, that's the body is like a leopard. Okay? And then his feet of a bear. And his mouth, the mouth of a lion. Got it? So, the feet is like a bear. The body is like a leopard. And his mouth, well, a lion. So why a lion's mouth? Well, lion always represents what the king of the beast. Now, it doesn't mean that he has a lion head. Huh? This is not a lion head. I don't work on a head I draw. Okay, it tells that he has the lion's mouth. And the lion always, that's what it is. This beast wants to speak like a king. Wants to speak with authority. Do you see that? Okay? So when the beast, this beast that came out of the sea, it tells us, oh, okay, this beast comes out from the old prophetic world. And that's what we are looking at right now in the European common market, all that area. Which once we know Babylonian conquered that area. Huh? Even the Egyptian conquered part of that area, Assyrian conquered part of that area, Babylonian came, make it bigger, then came the Middle Persian, make it bigger, then came the Grecian, make it even bigger, and the Roman Empire, the biggest of all. You know. And you know that the Grecian Empire under Alexander almost went over to conquer India. But because of the Himalaya and it's too cold out there. They would have crossed and conquered India. You know. So it's all stopped there by the mountain. So it didn't come out to India. But Babylonian is the queen of Babylon. The Roman Empire is the biggest of all. You understand? So he's all in that region now. This picture tells us very clearly. Okay? Alright, let's continue. And I saw one of his head as it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast. And I saw one of his head was wounded. Okay? I saw one of his head was wounded. Here is a wounded head. So this is the head they came out with. So the head is wounded. That's where he is wounded. You know what he wounded? Remember exactly what the book of Genesis tells us. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It's a bruise the head, but you shall bruise his heel. Right? And we can see the picture always, see how when Jesus died upon the cross, when his body was in the tomb, The spirit went down to the soul in prison to preach to them. He took the key from Satan and unlocked all those prison doors of the righteous saints. And then, what? Ascended up with them to the paradise, right? So of course, it always the picture is that Satan tried to grab him and bruise his leg. And Jesus not give him a kick on the head. And Satan got bruise on the head. So this is the picture we always have to use. Alright, so of all the seven heads, of all the seven heads, the one head that was bruised is this head. The head that will have the same, the 10 horns on it. So what head is this seventh one? What is the seventh head? The Roman, Holy Roman Empire. The sixth is Rome, right? You understand that? The seventh is the Holy Roman Empire. When was the Holy Roman Empire, the head was, when was it bruised? When was it wounded? He was wounded in the days of Martin Luther. Do you remember? Yes. Martin Luther, when he was a priest for I think 10 or 12 years, and when the Lord spoke to him, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. He came down from his homage to a shrine, he studied very quietly, put down 95 theses, went to Wittenberg Council Hall, in Germany, and nailed it to the cross. All the treasons, why he disagreed with the Roman Catholic Church, why he's against this and that. Huh? And because of that, the whole of Europe set on fire. You have Calvin, you have John Knox, you have Rome, you have so many others. Reformers that coming up, and the whole Europe was set on fire. So, the head of this Holy Roman Empire was bruised. Right? With one blow, Martin Luther really gave a good kick against the head of this beast. Right? But that is only a religious one. But over also that in the year, this is just history. I just want to give you some understanding. Don't worry too much about history. Okay? But also in the year 1808, there was the emperor, what is his name? Napoleon Bonaparte. Alright. Napoleon Bonaparte. I kind of find hard to pronounce that name. He came and you know what? He went to the Vatican State there. He went to the cathedral. I didn't know it actually. He took this crown, he crowned himself. You know, if you are a Catholic, you come under Catholic rule. Usually the Pope crowns you. You all know that, huh? The Pope will crown you. But he went there, he crowned himself. And then in 1908, he seized the Pope and deported him to France. Huh? From Rome, he deported him to France. So that is a political blow. What year was it when Luther bruised or wounded the head? In 1715. Or 1517, sorry. Huh? But 1808 is when he was politically wounded. Now in history, there's a lot of history. That's why I want to talk about the four beasts. About the bear, you know, took the three ribs and all this sort of thing. It's actually happened. What the Roman, under the Roman Empire, what they did. You see? But what we are looking at is this last head. Let us continue. Close, you know what? And I saw one of his head as it was wounded. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. So when his deadly wound was healed, you know this wound, it was healed. Oh, you know, and so when was it healed? You know, when Martin Luther came, the whole world at that time, in the Dark Age, were under control of the Roman Catholic Church. The Holy Roman Empire, which is the Dark Age. Martin Luther came, bruised it, brought some light into the world. And then you came, John Wesley and all the others. Preacher came along, Spurgeon, good preacher, and continue down to our days, Billy Graham, Al Roberts, Branham, and right now. But when was this wound healed? Well, it was after the, it was during the Second World War, somewhere around 1910. You know, the First World War started, then the Second World War came along. And you know what? The church there in America, they started to form a council. And then later on the council became like, here we have International Council of Churches. Then they became National Council of Churches in America. They formed this National Council of Churches. And in 1948, in Uppsala, the city of Uppsala, Sweden, the World Council of Churches became established. So from the National Council of Churches in America, they formed a World Council outside of America. So you have these two bodies now working together as one to bring everybody, all the churches together. So when the World Council of Churches was established in 20 years later, in 68, oh, there was a whole lot of good dialogue with the Catholic Church. You know what I mean? You know what that dialogue is? Like in Singapore here, we want to talk about religious harmony, right? Yes? Sometimes we have a certain function. You have the Catholic priest there, you have the Anglican Church priest there, right? You have the Buddhist priest there, you have the Hindu priest there, you have the Muslim imam there. I don't know what else you want. So they all wanted to have a dialogue because they want religious harmony. Yes or no? That is religious harmony. But here in the church itself, the World Council of Churches is bringing all these daughters of harlot back to the mother. Do you understand? So they are having a dialogue. Yeah, both sides claim this Bible. The Catholic Church claim the Bible. The Protestant side. As long as you're not Catholic, you're a Protestant. It doesn't matter whether you are charismatic, Anglican, Pentecost or whatever, right? There are only two sides. Either you are the Catholic Church or you are not. Okay, we're not talking about the moment, we're not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and all the cock claims and all those stuff. Alright, so the World Council of Churches uniting all these Protestant groups back to Mother Harlot, going back. And so that was when the wound was healed. That's why they can all worship together. That's why now Roman Catholicism, there are a lot of Roman Catholics speaking tongues. Right? And you can have the nuns and the monk and the priests and dancing around with the charismatic and the Protestant people. Even the Methodists, some Baptists and some Anglican and Episcopalians, they're all speaking tongues too. And they're jiggle, 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 jiggle. They don't want to do that. You understand? And you know what it is in the paper in the Singapore, we got the mega churches getting together, right? Yes? They think that if you are blessed materially, if you have a lot of material blessing, it is tied to your spiritual life. It is because your life of God is good. That's why God bless you with cars, with houses. That's charismatic teaching. Do you know that? That's why in the forum last few days ago, somebody who is, I think, from Methodist Church, he wrote about it. He says, do they know anything about how the doctrine came about? Do they know nothing of real doctrines of the Word of God? I say, well, you wrote that, it's good. Do you think the charismatic people care less about, oh, this doctrine and that doctrine? He said, oh, I know what Jesus died for me on the cross. I believe in John 3:16. That's about it. You know. And then they buy a big Bible like this. I can tell you one thing, they don't bring the Bible to school. I mean, not school. To the churches. Do you think they bring it to church and really study? And when they do open the Bible, what are they always talking about? Jesus loves you. Grace, grace. We thank God for grace. Mercy, mercy, oh God is full of mercy. God wants you to be rich, God wants you to be, God wants to bless you, brother, God wants to bless your sister. He will love, love all the people, love all these animals, love, love, love. That's all they talk about. We know because why we know there's love. Why? You don't have to tell me about love, brother and sister. If I have the love of Christ in my heart, if I have the life of God in my heart, love must be there, life must be real. Amen. And you live the word, that's what I'm talking about. When the Spirit of God is given to you, what does it do to your life? It teaches you. He said, the Bible, Jesus said, when the Spirit of God is come, He will guide you and lead you into all truth. Not into some truth. Not into 10% of the truth. All truth! You tell that to the charismatic. But they said, it's not important. Oh, that is not important. Everything is not important except John 3:16. Huh? Then you just cut up the verse, cut up John 3:16, and put it in a little box, and put it on the forehead, tie it there, or tie it on the shoulder, just like what they have, the Jewish people do, the phylactery. Right? Keep it in the head, John 3:16. Put it on that one. That's all I have. You see? That's what the Israel have. What is inside the phylactery? What is written inside there? The one commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy Lord is one God. Right? Yes, that's the basic thing that they have. The one Lord that they all know. You see? Or just other Muslims, they'll say there is no God but Allah. The Jew have to sin like that. And what about this other? John 3:16 on the week, but just take a verse. What is a favorite verse in the Bible? You see, yeah, favorite verse. Many of us have favorite verses. Right? Yes or no? But just don't talk about the favorite verse itself alone. There are many, many verses of scripture that are a real blessing. Okay? Let us move on. And so what a world wonder after the beast. So we see that the carriages now is healed, the head is healed, and they worship the dragon, which give power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is likened unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Now when we talk about the beast, we are talking about the system. But who is driving that system? When we talk about the beast, there must be somebody that drives this head, that drives this beast. Like that. Huh? There must be a mind inside the head. Okay, so we know it's none other than the Pope or the Catholic Church. By the Catholic Church, the head is the Pope. It is one that must be driving the head. But later on, we understand later that even though the head is driven by the Catholic Church, the Bible shows us another separation. Because in chapter 17 of Revelation, there is a woman that sits upon this beast. Remember? There to show you that there is someone controlling this beast. Okay? Only that this beast is trying to tell us about the Roman, Holy Roman Empire, which was bruised but now came back to life. You understand? You understand that, huh? When the Reformation started, I can tell you the Catholic Church was behind, just left behind. Okay, but now the Catholic Church is in the forefront again. Do you understand that? So they are worshipping the beast. Who is going to do this? Who can make war? Huh? You see, when the world is under control by this Catholic system, like in the Dark Age, who can make war with this beast? In the Dark Age, can you make war with this? Yeah. It's driven by demons. Until God used this man who is willing to die, who was a priest, you know, who defied the Pope. I like it. When I take a piece of bread, the wafer, he said, this is a bread. This is a piece of bread. And threw it on the floor. Huh? Okay? Let's continue. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So what are the 42 months? Go right back here to this great tribulation. This is the 42 months. 1,260 days or 42 months or 3.5 years. So he will be there sitting in the midst of the, in the middle of the 70th week and claim to be God. Now he's going to drive everybody in the world crazy with fear. You better fear God. And he opened his mouth in blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So, you blaspheme the name of God, you blaspheme the, well, the temple of Jerusalem. Huh? He will even blaspheme, I don't know, about Jesus or whatever. He'll come to a place when people, when they put himself up, thinking that he is all that he is. He probably, I don't know, probably he might come and say, I'm Christ incarnate. You know. Just like what we have in Maori, Muthu Krishna, in India. He says, he called himself Jesus Christ of Nazareth, South India. And there are a lot of people that are claiming that they are some God incarnate person. Huh? Okay. And it was given unto him to make war with the sin, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. There will be those days whose names are written, right? They will not worship him. That's why even at that age, not only just those Protestants, they're willing to die. 68 million people died. Think about it, huh? But there are those who are not even Christian. They're even pagan. They will not bow down to the Pope's order. You know, during the reign of in the Dark Age, the Pope forbid people to experiment with chemicals. You know, or for those, you know, medical science, some people want to find some kind of cure. The Pope said that is sorcery. So anybody who do anything or even write books or read books, they are not allowed to. You see. So for those who defy the Pope, they die. Alright? So this is what's going to happen. For those whose names are not written in the book of life, of course, they will bow down to the Pope. They will become a yes man, yes woman. If any man have been here, let him hear. You're going to hear? Oh, brother, he had a dream, said that the Lord came and touched his ear. How nice. Yes, love his eye. I said, brother, that's what God is giving you, anointing to the eye to see and to understand. Not you touch your ears to, for you to hear. You know? So, do you have an ear to hear? That's important. A lot of people don't know what they hear. Jesus said, take it how you hear and what you hear. Don't go in one ear and come out the other. Alright? He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the and the faith of the saint. Now, for those, this is what it is. You reap, you sow, the same. You kill by the sword, you die by the sword. You kill by the gun, you die by the gun. So this is what will happen in that three and a half year period. And this is the Noah's great tribulation. A tribulation so great that we have not seen before. And as Matthew said, Jesus said, if he doesn't cut short, there will be no flesh saved. Do you understand? The tribulation could have gone on for I don't know how long. But the Bible already tells us, already give us an understanding that when the Antichrist started to sit in the temple and call himself God, to the end of it, Christ make it only to 3.5 years. Do you understand? Alright? If any longer, I tell you, there will be a whole lot of problems. Because why? With the Pope, the way he is doing things, trying to influence all other nations, they will not be happy in those other nations, those countries. But that's why we see when the king of the east start to move and will come down to fight. Do you understand? Alright. So when they come down to the Middle East to fight in this final battle, the battle of Armageddon, Christ has ended. And that's why we will come back to earth with Christ to end that battle. Because that battle, you're going to use nuclear. Nuclear bomb will be used. You'll be sure. And when you start using nuclear power, what do you think happened? Not only the death, alright, all around in that area, but with the dead lying down there in the streets, what will happen to the air? What will happen to the air? It'll be terrible, isn't it? So if they keep on killing each other and bombs start flying everywhere, you can start to, you know, bombs start to strike every city. That's what Brother Abraham saw in the vision, America being destroyed. Sure, when this thing happened, when all this thing happened, America will not be around. I mean, as far as this party is concerned. When Armageddon comes in, America is not there. America will have been destroyed. But what happened if nuclear bomb is used? Atomic bomb is used well, a lot of the destruction takes place. The air will be petrified. You know, be foul. They'll be full of what? When this decay takes place, what kind of gas is given off? Carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, nitrogen, I don't know what else, methane, well, we know. So the air will be unbreathable. Yet, what if they use chemical warfare? And so if Christ does not cut that short, and we know according to the Bible, that is cut short by his coming. And we know that God is getting a people ready to escape all this, but it will not be all Christians. They will go up. It will be those that are prepared. And let us prepare ourselves, because it is a secret. Like Enoch was taken, like Elijah was taken, that when Jesus was taken into heaven, nobody knows, except those who knew. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. We ask for your blessing, Father, in that which we have learned, what we have studied. We ask for your grace, Father, that we keep the words in our heart and to continue, Father, in the light of your word. May our life, Father, be truly worthy of the gospel, worthy of the name of Jesus Christ in our life. We know there is but a short time left for us, O Lord, to get ready, because we're living this year, 2013, Father. We know the development of the prophetic words coming to pass, Father. We see in the horizon the issues, O Lord, that are facing the politicians of the world, even nations of the world, earth shaking. And yet, Lord, people go about doing their daily chores without any awareness of the urgency of time, Father. But we are your children. Always, Father, be with us to remind us to know that the time is near and that we should keep walking in the faith that is given unto us. Father, we thank you. We bless you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.